Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Lighthouse on this beautiful Youth Sunday. So you'll notice some young people helping us out with all the different ministries. And right now I have Jostyn, and she's helping us with our announcements this morning. Let's give her a hand. And Jostyn is actually filling in last minute. I had someone else signed up, and they were sick this morning, so I appreciate people who can just go on the fly and willing to jump in and help wherever needed. So our first announcement is this Saturday is Lighthouse Connection. That is a group that meets at Jesse and April's house. April, wave your hand in the back. So if you would like to go, please let her know. It starts at 6 p.m. on Saturday. And this is for anyone who's newer to the Lighthouse. So if you've only been here a year or two. But also, this month, we have our media and hospitality team going to be there, the team leaders. So if you are interested in media or hospitality, no matter how long you've been here, we want to invite you to go to the group that this Saturday as well, and you can get information about those ministries.
Good morning again. So Breakthrough Harvest Church in Ottawa has their annual camp meeting services this weekend. It's going to be Pastor Russell Hilton is preaching Friday night, and Pastor Joe is preaching Saturday night. It's at 7 p.m., and if you want any more details, you can go to the welcome desk, and Karen will have them for you.
Thank you. And another exciting announcement is we have an option for a mission trip to Appalachia. So if you're interested to go, and we did have a wrong date last time, so we want to clarify, it is not like 3 weeks long. It is 3 days long. So it is Thursday, November 30th through Sunday, December 3rd. So if you are at all interested, possibly thinking about it, we want you to come to our short meeting today right after church. We'll be meeting up front over on this side of the church. And it doesn't mean you're signing your life away. It means you just want some more information. So if you are thinking about it, please come to that short meeting. We will give you all of the details at that time. And that meeting is today, right after service.
And youth ages 13 through 23 have a carry coffee shop thing that they go to. It's the third Sunday of every month. We were doing it on Tuesday, but it's now moved to the third Sunday of every month. I haven't been able to go to a full one, but I did go to the end of one of them, and just the end was very powerful. So imagine what the whole entire thing would be. It's really fun. There's always, you know, drinks involved and prizes and rewards, and it's super fun. Coffee, yeah. All you coffee drinkers, it's really good. If you haven't been to the coffee shop, their coffee's amazing. Shout out to the Pratts.
And if you're like me and you don't like coffee, they have great smoothies. And so that is not, it's not tonight, it's going to be next Sunday. So save the date for that, all of you young people who are younger than me and are invited to go. All right, so our last announcement is kind of a lengthy one. This one is Impact Eternity Month. We're going to show a short video about that, and then I have several different things we're doing for Impact Eternity. So if you turn your attention to the screen, we have a video to show you, and then we will give you the details about what we are doing here. This is someone from our national office giving you details and a testimony.
Welcome to Impact Eternity Month. My name is Luis Lopez, and I'm a student in my senior year at Messenger College. Last week, Bishop Ming started us off with a prayer that prepared our hearts to be sent into the world to reach our community for Christ. Remember, this month of September is Impact Eternity Month, and we are joining with our global PCG family to spread and share the good news of who Jesus is. So this week, we want to see every person, not just glance, but intentionally see with open eyes all the people God places in our path, even the overlooked. See with compassion so that Jesus shines uniquely even through the darkest hours. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Seeing is not just going to be done by your eyes. The truth is, the lost world is also going to be looking right back at you, in need of a beam of light in this dark world. See that you carry that light inside of you, and this week it is your chance to shine bright, minister to the lost, and see the wondrous works of God in your life and in the lives of those around you. I challenge you to reflect and evaluate, are you being a light? How can you let people see Christ in you? Thank you again for your partnership in Impact Eternity.
All right, so our church wants to do that. It's important to impact eternity every day and every month, but we take September just to really focus on that and to give you some teaching and training for that. So this month we've been putting devotionals on our Facebook group every single day. So if you haven't seen those, make sure you check those out. They're really short. Read through it. It gives you some practical advice. If you do not have Facebook and you would like a printed copy, please see the welcome desk. They can take your name and we will print a copy so that you have that. So we have devotionals going out every single day this month. The other thing we're doing is this Saturday, we have a Surround the Town of Cary in prayer. So if you would like to participate, we are going to meet here at the church at 4:30. We're going to get our assignments, which means you're going to find a location where you're going to go with each group. There will be a group leader to lead that group in prayer, and you're just going to take some time to pray over whatever direction that group leader gives you. So if you're interested in doing that, please go back to the welcome desk, put your name on the list so they know how many people we have going, and you'll be assigned to a group. Be here Saturday at 4:30, and we're believing prayer changes things. Amen? So I think we should always be praying way more than we're complaining, right? Because complaining changes nothing, but prayer changes everything. And then the last thing we're going to do, and if I can get my helpers to come up, I have 5 boy helpers, if you all can come on up. Yep, Carter, Logan, Lucas, and Jorge, come on up. So they are going to pass out a card to all the adults in this room. How many of you know we've been talking about reaching and teaching? So we're calling these a reach card. And so all of you adults are going to get one. And on the back, it is blank. What I encourage you to do is write a personal message to someone, a personal invitation, because we are having a Impact Eternity service. We have an evangelist coming in, Nicholas Hall. I believe we have his picture, if they can throw that up there. He is a great man of God, a young man of God who is powerful and full of the Holy Spirit, and you will be blessed. But I also believe that your unsaved loved ones or neighbors or coworkers can also be blessed. So we want you to write a personal invitation and then hand it to somebody. You're reaching into your family or your neighborhood and inviting someone to come to church. I recently heard a statistic that said if a church does an advertisement, less than 2% will respond to that advertisement. But if a person reaches to someone that they have a relationship with and gives an invitation, 10 to 20% will respond. So it's still not 100%, we get that. But we want to give the invitation. We want people to know that they can come to hear the gospel. Amen? So I just asked them to pass out to the adults, but teenagers, we will have these back on the welcome desk or at the door later this week. So if you want more than one, we will have some extra copies there later this week. You can take as many as you want. We also have some copies in Spanish. Did Daniel pass those out? Okay. So, and then if anyone else knows of some Spanish families, we will have those available as well. So how many of you can be praying for this month? Praying for this service, praying at our Reach the Town of Cary service, because we believe eternity is important. Amen? And so at this time, Justin has one last thing to say.
At this time, Sister Betty and the preschoolers will be coming up with our open worship.
Thank you, dear. So this is news to them because I didn't get to talk to them in beforehand. So Reese, can you come up with me, please? And I see Johanna over there. And yeah, yep, come on up. The Crow Kids. All right. We are learning a scripture, a memory verse. And where is Johanna? Is she coming? There she is. Is she coming? Nope. Okay. That's all right. You don't have to. Or you can sit on the front seat if you want to. You don't have to. Look, all right, so we're learning a memory verse, and you're going to say it with us, and it's Genesis 1 and 1, all right? You ready? Ready? All right. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. One more time. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, this is Josiah's favorite part because now we're going to do it really, really fast. He loves to do it really fast, right? You ready? In the beginning, God created the heavens, heavens and the earth. One more time. We're going to really, 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 really fast this time. You ready? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1. 1. All right. Now we're going to watch you all do it. All right. You ready? You got to do it fast. Can you do it fast? All right. Are you ready? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How'd they do? Oh, Genesis 1:1. How'd they do? One more time. You ready? You're going to jump the gun. You ready? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1. Good job. Give them a hand. You guys can go sit down if you want to. All right. We're so glad and happy to have the preschool class, and God is doing good things in this preschool class. Last Sunday, we had 8 preschoolers. Give the Lord a hand for that. Let me just share my heart for just a minute, because I believe that God is going to bring to us children who have behaviors, who have a difficult time sitting. And their parents are going to be like, we don't know what to do with them. But God is going to infuse his spirit in them, and he's going to change their little hearts. How many of you know that Jesus can change hearts when you're really little? And once you learn that Jesus loves you no matter what, your life will never be the same. Hallelujah. Stand with us, if you would, please, this morning. We're going to pray over the offering, and as we do, ways to give are going to be on the screen. And so we're so grateful for what God is doing. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and we praise you for what you are accomplishing in this house. We thank you for the many areas, God, that you are working by your Spirit. We thank you, God, that not only on the first day of creation that you created new things, but you can create new things in us all the time. We thank you, God, for what you're doing in us. Bless this offering. Bless those who give. Help us to understand that our giving gives to the work of Christ. And we thank you and praise you for what you are accomplishing in this house. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Till I met you, I was breathing but not alive, and all my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. And now your freedom is all that I know. The old made new.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, when I met you. Heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan, but you call me a citizen of heaven. I needed rescue, my sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan, but you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. Cause when you call my name, running when you call my name. I came running, I came running, I came running when you call my name. I came running, I came running, I came running when you call my name. I came running, I came running, I came running when you call my name. Cause I came running, I came running, I came running when you call my name. Oh, I came running, I came running, I came running when you call my name. love you, and we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you, and we can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. With you walk into the room, sickness starts to vanish. Every hopeless situation. Sing that part again. Just when you walk into the room, sickness starts to vanish. Every hopeless situation. Sing it again. Sing it again. When you walk into the room, when you walk into the room, wherever he's at, it has to leave.
Sickness starts to vanish.
Hallelujah. Sing it again. When he shows up, the devil has to leave.
Because when you walk into the room, sickness starts to vanish. Every hopeless situation ceases to exist. Oh, and when you walk into the room, oh, the dead begins to rise. Because there is resurrection life in all you do. We love you, we love you, and we'll never stop. Can't live without you, Jesus. We love you, and we can't get it.
God, all we are, we give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. So come and consume, God. All we are, we give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you.
We can't, Jesus. We
Is a wick. Yeah, they got on the screen. Your love is the flame, and I want to burn for your name. My heart is the wick, and your love is the flame. There's a connection there. There's a connection. You see, you can have the wick with no flame, but you can't have a flame without a wick to be started first. You see, this morning, what I'm feeling the Holy Spirit saying to us this morning in this place is that maybe we're in a position in ourselves and our personal lives that we just need to start purging out some of the things that are just hindering our hindsight and our vision of what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in our lives. Not just this church, I'm speaking to your individual life, the things that you're going through. It's really easy to burn for Jesus around a bunch of church people. But let's start a fire, let's start a wick this morning. That's going to burn not just on Sunday mornings. It's not going to burn just on Mondays, but Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Let's start a week that's going to burn eternally.
Oh, because my heart is a wick. Your love is the flame. And I'm going to burn for you.
Oh, my heart.
I wanna burn.
Sing, He will do great things because He's not done.
And He will do great things.
So think whatever you have facing you right now. He's going to do it.
He will do great.
Oh, hold on to your faith. It's not finished until it's good.
I will bless the Lord,
I just feel like this morning we need to remember. Some of you in here need to remember. I don't know who it is, but some of you need to remember what God has done for you. And don't forget, I don't know where you're at right now, but maybe you're sick, maybe you're lonely, maybe you're in financial strain, whatever that might be. I don't know, but remember what he's done for you before, and he will do it for you again. Remember, remember. Now let's sing out with everything you are. Sing out with everything. Lift your praise to him this morning. Bless him. We bless you, Lord. Thank you for everything you've done for us in the past, now, today, and tomorrow. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We love you.
Your hands and give him some praise right now. Come on, let's just worship him. Lift your voice as you lift your hands. Give him glory this morning. Give him praise for all that he's doing, all that's taking place. The Apostle Paul wrote to us and even said that even in his weaknesses, in his infirmities and weaknesses, he would give Jesus praise. Because he knew God would deliver him out of all of them. He knew God would be moving. He knew if he just kept his faith. That's what we're doing this morning, right? We're just trusting Jesus each step of the way. We're thankful for what he's done. We're thankful for what he's doing right now. And we're thankful for what he's gonna do. Amen. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As we were singing that song, Glorious Day, I couldn't help but think of scriptures, how that he has translated us from darkness and taken us into his marvelous light. What a glorious day. And sometimes when we're facing struggles, problems, trials, whatever you want to label it, we need to remember that day that God instantaneously translated us from darkness into light. What does that mean? He took us from death. We were dead in our trespasses and in our sins. That's what scripture says. And we were made alive by his resurrection power. Hallelujah. If he did that, he can do what you're facing now. If he can take a dead sinner and make them a live saint, he can deal with whatever you're facing right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, give him some more praise this morning. That's how we remind ourselves of the God we serve. Oh, we lift your name, Lord Jesus. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. You're a great God. You're a great God. And you're worthy of our praise and our glory and our honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. One of these days, somebody's going to get Pentecostal enough that when we were singing that song, I came running when you called my name. Y'all going to just take off running. Yeah, hallelujah. We came running. When you're desperate, come on, when you're desperate, ain't nothing holding you back. You come running after Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we praise your holy name, Lord. We praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. Oh, glory be to God. Hey, my sublime. Hallelujah. 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 See, God's people are full of joy. Even in the midst of heartache, God's people are full of joy. In the midst of pain, God's people are full of joy. Because we know what He's done for us. We know how He's changed us. And thank God He ain't stopped yet. He's still working on me. Is He still working on you? And if He's brought me this far, He's not going to leave me, but He's going to carry me the rest of the way. Hallelujah. This is why we have praise service right here. To remind ourselves of the God that we serve. To rally the troops together. You see, I've heard pastors say this. I've been thinking about this for a while. I've heard pastors say this. Well, you know, Sunday's game day. No, it's not. It may be for the NFL, but not for God's people. Sunday is when we rally the troops, get refreshed and renewed so that Monday through Saturday we can go after it in game day. Amen? This ain't game day. This is us coming together encouraging one another because we got a week full of game days. We gonna get after it, amen? Praise the Lord. How many of you are glad to be Jesus lovers this morning? Amen? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're going to just keep the music playing. We're going to do this differently. It's Youth Sunday around here, and we like to get our young people involved in ministry because we are firm believers. They're not just the church of tomorrow, but they're also the church of today. Amen? And so when we do ministry with our kids, as you saw this morning, with our teens, with the middle-aged people, and the old people. Now, don't get offended. I didn't call you old. I just said the old people. So it's up to you if you label yourself that way or not. I'm working towards that. I'm working towards that. Not there yet. But we all minister together. Amen? We all have something that we can share for Jesus. And so this morning, Peyton's going to come. And she's going to share what God's put on her heart. She's helping me out this morning. Give her a hand as she comes.
Yeah, my name is Peyton. So I had a testimony to share that I had written down on my phone, but I decided that I'm going to share something else that actually means a lot to me. So this year at church camp, we would pray over people and he would call up needs, and at different services I saw that happening, that he would call people that need prayer. And I was dealing with a lot of self-doubt before church camp. Wondering if I'm enough and wondering why people love me so much because I didn't get it. And so every service I went to, I would talk to God and be like, Lord, please just let him call up people that are dealing with this, because I was too scared to go up and ask somebody to pray over me. And so one of the services, I went up to the altar and was praying, and he told me that I needed to go up to Leah and ask her to pray over me. But I didn't want to do it alone, so I asked Jade and Adriana to go up with me. And after I got prayed over, I just thought, like, that wasn't a big deal. It wasn't a big deal to ask somebody for help what I was dealing with, because they're not gonna know unless you tell them. And after that, I don't, whenever I think thoughts that I'm not good enough or people don't love me, I remember that people do love me and they're happy to help me, and they don't care what I'm dealing with because they could be dealing with the same thing. So that's, yeah.
Amen. God is here for us, and God's people are here for one another. Amen.
I'm going to ask something right now. I just feel the Holy Spirit leading us. Our kids face more than we ever realize, and they face more than we did as kids. So I'm going to ask everyone to reach out and touch a young person who's sitting near you. And if you don't have one sitting near you, move to go and reach out to touch a young person, because we're going to pray over them.
Yes.
And adults, let me tell you this. If we get so focused on our own stuff, we're going to lose the next generation. We need to grow up. We need to step up. We need to get victory over our struggles so that we can help young people get victory over theirs. Because if we're focused on our junk, they have no one. And that's not the way God made it. God made the older generation to pour into the younger generation. And here we are going to do that. And so every young person should be being prayed over right now. And so, Heavenly Father, we just bring these young people before you. God, we know that they are created with a purpose. God, that you have given them a clear identity of who they are in you, of who you created them to be. And so, Father God, right now we release that identity in them, that they will not believe the lies of the enemy. They will not believe the lies of this world. But, God, we release a holy boldness, that they will proclaim the truth in the midst of darkness, God. That they will clearly understand they are loved. That they can walk in peace. They do not have to surrender to turmoil, but Father God, they can have peace in their mind and peace in their body, dear God. That they have a hope for a good future, that no matter what is going on in this world, you are still in control. And they can have hope that you will take care of them, that you will provide for them. Father God, right now I just release your spirit to lead and guide them into all truth. That when there's things they don't understand, God, that your Holy Spirit will speak. And they will see and they will know. And Father God, not just for these people right here, not just for these children and young adults, but dear God, that they will carry it with them. That they will tell their friends. You don't have to go through struggles alone. That they will tell their friends there is a hope for a brighter future, that Jesus Christ is your creator and he loves you. God, right now we just release all of the burdens that they've been carrying, God. Right now, Lord, as adults, we step in and say, here we are, send us to help them. Send us to speak words of encouragement. Send us, dear God, to see what they're struggling with. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom, I just release it into this generation. And God, as adults, forgive us. Forgive us for our selfishness. Forgive us for not getting the victory that you have promised us. For not walking in that victory, but instead walking in our flesh, Lord. And I declare from this moment forward, it is going to be different. From this moment forward, we are rising up as the mighty army of God, and we are going to teach the younger generation how to walk in victory, because we are setting the example of walking in victory. I rebuke the complaining. God, I rebuke the murmuring. I rebuke the gossip. I rebuke the depression and the anxiety right now. It has no place. No place. And we are going to walk in freedom so that we can teach others how to walk in freedom. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, church, just praise him, thank him. Young people, praise him. God, we thank you for what you have done right now in this moment. This is a holy moment, Lord, and we praise you. We worship you. We are so grateful for who you are. We are so grateful for all of your promises, and Lord, we stand upon them. We are thankful for your word. We praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. Hallelujah. 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 The enemy is constantly trying to lie to us. The enemy will lie to our children, lie to our teenagers, and he'll lie to us. He'll lie to us. And we need to stop believing the lies. Amen? We need to believe the word of the Lord and what he has spoken. We all have value. We are all needed. We are all loved. We're all loved by people. And we live in a world right now that has been so isolated. Listen to me. We may think that the effects of what took place in 2020 are over, but they're not. There are a lot of people who still feel isolated. They can be in a room full of people and still feel isolated because the enemy has lied to them. But how many of you know that as we, being the church, proclaim the truth of Jesus and his love, and how he has declared, whosoever will come to me, right? Then that isolation is broken and freedom is given to people. Amen? And that's what we're doing here this morning. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? I'm telling you, God is working in our midst, and I'm so grateful for a people. Thank you. I'm grateful for a people who want to come together and just want God to move. I'm grateful for people who have set an atmosphere of openness to the point that a young lady who had something planned, she was going to say, felt comfortable enough in the love of God and his presence, his spirit, to say, you know what? Forget that. Let me just be real with you for a minute. Of what I was going through and how God is delivering me and helping me. And I loved her testimony. Yeah, give her a hand again. I love her testimony because she didn't just tell you how in a moment God moved and in a time because people prayed with her and prayed for her. God started something there. But she said, but now, when those thoughts come, I remind myself of what God has said. I remind myself of what people have said to me in love. Just what we were singing, right? He's done great things. And we remind ourselves of the greatness and the goodness of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Why don't you just lift your hands one more time and just love Jesus. Just love on him. God, we love you. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. We are so grateful. We are so thankful for your goodness and your grace. And your, the manifestation of your presence that's in this place right now. That's touching each heart and each life, Lord. We are so grateful to you, Lord Jesus. We are so grateful to you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus. Sing it to him.
Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord.
One more time.
Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Hey. Your name high, Lord.
We exalt thee. We exalt thee. Oh.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this precious moment you're giving us right now. Let us never be a people who take it for granted when you begin to move. Let us never be a people who are ungrateful for everything that you do. Let us never be that person. But God, we stand before you right now, and we are so grateful and thankful for everything that you're doing in each individual soul, our heart, our mind, our will. Thank you for what you're doing in each individual body. Thank you for healing and strength. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in each individual life right now in spirit. But God, I also want to thank you for what you're doing in this church as a whole. For we are one body. We are you, Jesus, with many members. I thank you for unity. Thank you for openness. God, as we honor you, we are honoring one another and honoring ourselves. God, you're preparing our lives for service unto you in the spirit of excellence. And God, we thank you for that right now, for all that you're doing. God, our heart's cry is that you may be exalted in our lives. And Lord, you see every need right now. You see the need of this church as a whole. You see the need of the individual. And God, you have heard our praise. It's a declaration of faith in you that God, you're meeting every one of our needs. We thank you for comforting the brokenhearted. We thank you for putting hearts back together. We thank you for healing bodies. We thank you for deliverance of the mind. We thank you for freedom to the oppressed. We thank you that you're releasing the bonds and you're binding us together in your peace and in the unity of your spirit, God. We give you thanks for it right now. We thank you for breakthrough in people's lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What a precious moment in the presence of God. And this is what I love about God when he begins to shift in a service. It's not that his spirit leaves. It's that his spirit is saying, okay, now that I've done this, it's time that I want to do this. And I believe that we've come to that part where God is ready to speak a word into our life. we've praised him, and sometimes we get the word first, then praise. Sometimes we praise and then get the word. It doesn't matter, but I just feel like this is where we are now, that God wants us to move into this word. And so I want you kids to go ahead and go to your classes. I know that there's a word for you guys. We're dismissing everybody at once. Go ahead and go. And if you need to take babies to nursery, you can do that. But I just know that God is doing a special work right now. Just a special, special work right now in us. And I don't want to miss that moment. And as your pastor, it's very important to me. Please listen to me. I know people are leaving, but please focus and listen to me right now. Just as if, like last week is a good example, just as when the gifts of the Spirit move in our midst, I always make sure I point them out so that everybody is fully aware of what God's doing. We had a message in tongues, and the interpretation was given last week, and God's gifts were speaking to us, right? But I think just as important as that, it is for us to slow down in a service and recognize what God's doing sometimes. And we are in a holy moment right now. I want you to grasp that. We are in a holy moment right now where God is just doing a work in our lives, not only individually, but this is just what I could see. And I began to see this last week, starting last week. I see God gathering his people and pulling them in, because he's embracing them. He's hugging them, right? He's loving on them. But you have to understand that when he does that, it's more than just for you personally. How many love it when you feel the presence of God in a tangible way? And it's like God is just loving you, right? You can feel that. But you also need to know this, that as he's doing that, he's also pulling other individuals that are his people in. And as he hugs us, we all become closer to each other, not just to God. Do you realize that that's the goal? It's what God wants. That when God speaks and says that we have fellowship in his light, that we're not just fellowshipping with God, but then he says, but we also have fellowship one with another. And God is doing a work in this faith community here. I believe other places around the world he is too, but right here, because there's a people that their heart says, no matter what is going on, we want a move of God. And we're not going to settle for anything less than a move of God. Are you with me there? I believe you are. I'm sensing it here. And we just need to keep pushing forward through everything that the enemy throws our way and know that God is moving in our midst. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Pastor Alicia, for the music this morning. Thank you all for just embracing what God's doing. And I just want to give a reminder, please take these cards. This is a simple tool. Now, I know some of you don't need this, all right? You invite people all the time. That's cool. That's great. But this is a simple tool to help people get out of their comfort zone, their box, that maybe have a difficulty at times reaching out and talking to people and inviting them. Take this tool. And I love what Pastor Alicia said. Write something special on the back of it. Don't just leave it generic reach card, but write something specific to the individual you're giving it to. Some people, they're uncomfortable speaking face to face. I get that. Sometimes it's them that's uncomfortable, not us, right? So if you know the individual that God's laying on your heart to reach out to, and you know that it's going to be difficult for them to receive a face-to-face conversation with this card, just write it on the back, right? Just write it down on the back, okay, guys? And that will be a great message. Now, here's the other thing. Some of you are thinking, I only got one? Why did I only get one? Well, we'll give you more, okay? But the goal was to get everybody in our church to understand that this is not an invitation to a church service. This is us impacting eternity. Please do not look at it like, oh, I'm just inviting somebody to come to church. No. This is impacting eternity. This is giving someone an opportunity to receive something from Jesus Christ in a new way than they ever have before. And you might say, well, the person I'm inviting has been to church before. Yeah, but they haven't been to this church service. Even if they've been to this church, they haven't been to this church service that we're inviting them to. And we have a prayer team that's praying over this service. We have Impacting Eternity group that's going to go and pray over our city. And that is going to make an impact in heaven as we use our faith, right? It's impossible to please God without faith. So as we use our faith, and then this service is going to be significant to impact people's lives for eternity, all right? So I want to make sure that you understood completely the vision behind this. This is not just an easy way to invite people to church because we want more people at our church so that we can say, look at us and how many people attend our services. That's junk. I'm going to tell you as the pastor right now, that is junk. I'm so sick of that stuff. We're on the same team. If the cross in the name of Jesus is proclaimed, we're on the same team, right? I'm not in competition with any other church and any other pastor, and neither are you. This is about impacting eternity. Because who knows who will show up that day? God knows who he's dealing with. That's why he's dealing with you, to go and speak to them. And they may never attend church here. I'm okay with that. I don't care. I want to impact eternity, that we can rob hell and populate heaven. Hallelujah.
I did forget to mention this, but something we're going to do a little different because it is a different service is we're actually going to take an offering for Nicholas next weekend. So it's not the weekend he will be here, but because we're inviting guests on the Sunday he's here, we're not going to ask them for an offering, a special offering for the speaker. So next Sunday, we're going to take an offering for Nicholas Hall. We can call it a faith offering. We believe that we will sow into Nicholas, and he'll come and deliver the word of God. But we're not going to take an offering for him the day he comes, because we're going to have guests here, and we're not going to take an extra offering that day. Does that make sense? Okay, so come prepared to give next week, and we're going to believe God's doing great things.
Amen. You understand that, right? Because some people get the impression that churches just want their money. So we're going to take that out of the equation, right? They don't have that excuse. Well, I knew it. They took two offerings in that service when they invited me. They were trying any way they could get my money. No, we ain't doing that. We're going to be a blessing to Brother Nicholas Hull, and like we always are, but we're going to be a blessing to people who need Jesus. Amen? And I'm excited about what God's doing in our community here. If you have your Bible with you this morning, I want you to go to the book of John. I'm going to read a lot of scripture to you, which is not my custom. I usually don't read this much scripture, but I really felt impressed of God to do so. And boy, how many of you enjoyed the word that God gave Pastor Dunia last week? My goodness gracious, man. I have just been thinking about the power of our praise, the power of our words. There's a song now, and if you haven't caught on to this yet, you'll eventually catch on if you pay attention, that I do not know song lyrics. They've made me stop leading songs because I'm not always the best singer, but I also don't sing the right words. And no one's made me stop anything. Okay. Well, you guys say a lot about it. You just don't make me just like, Pastor, those are the wrong lyrics. And I thought, well, it made sense to me. I was praising Jesus, right? So I just sing whatever comes to my heart. But so I can't tell you the name of this song. Can't tell you any other lyrics of this song. I just remember this part of the song. It's probably not even new anymore, but it's new to me. And there's this part that just says, "Release the sound." Anybody know that song? Maybe Rick Pino. He comes to this part, sings the chorus. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And then he stops and he just says, "Release the sound." And then you hear the crowd go, "Ah!" Right? And I keep thinking about that, Pastor Dunya, about your message and the power of our praise. The people of God just need to release the sound, right? Make a joyful noise, and how powerful that moves in things, even in the earth. And just to think about how they cleaned up the Gulf of Mexico with big speakers, just releasing sound waves, right, is amazing how God has created things. And so, you know, he said to us to speak to that mountain and it'll be removed, right? We have to use our words. We have to declare our praise. And when we do those things, things are shifted and changed by his power, not by our power, but through our obedience by declaring his word. And so I just appreciated that message so much, and it's been stirring in me, and I hope it's been stirring in you too. But this morning I want to minister to you a thought. Who's in your house? Who's in your house? And this message is going to be a little different because I'm going to take you through the text here. It's not going to be what we coin expository. I'm not going to preach line for line for you, because if I did, we would be here till next Sunday, because I have a lot of verses I'm going to be reading to you. But I want to take you through this text and kind of give you a glimpse of what happened, what took place in the context of the text. But then I want to preach this thought to you, who's in your house. So if you'll just bear with me, I want to read through this event that took place in the scripture. It's a powerful event. Probably some of you have read this yourself. A lot of you have probably heard this preached. But I believe that God has given me a different perspective on this morning that I want to share with you. And so John chapter 11, starting in verse 1, it says this. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. So Mary and Martha are from Bethany. Lazarus is from Bethany, and you're going to find out that they are the sisters of Lazarus, and Lazarus is sick. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped her feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So it's the same Mary who poured out the oil, the alabaster box. It's her brother, and Lazarus is ill. So the sisters sent to him, or they sent word to the Lord, saying, "Lord, be he whom you love, or he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now I want you to see in verse 4 the quotation marks where it says this illness, all the way through to where it says "through it," and take great notice that it is in quotation marks. It's probably in red in your passage if you have a red letter Bible, because Jesus is the one saying this. So hold on to that thought. Understand and know that this is what Jesus said. The illness doesn't lead to death, but this is so that he can be glorified. Verse 5 says this. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Yeah, you read that right. He loves Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And because he loves them so much, he stays 2 days longer away from them. Another point in the story that you need to highlight, whether on your paper or in your mind. All right? Verse 7. Then after this, he said to his disciples, so after he stayed 2 days, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, The Jews were just now speaking to stone you, and you are going there again? So now we have another interesting part of the story. That the reason, if you look in previous passages of Scripture, the reason that Jesus left Judea and was in the area, the region he was, is because when he was there last time, he said things that irritated the Jews so much they were ready to kill him. They were going to throw rocks at him until he died, which we call stoning someone in the Bible. And so now Jesus is saying, well, I'm going to go back there. Mind you, after waiting 2 days from receiving word that one of his really good friends is sick. I'm going to wait 2 days. Could it possibly be, let me just present this argument to you for a minute here. Could it possibly be that the disciples saw him tarry there 2 days thinking that, okay, this is common sense. Jesus is not going to go back to Judea because they want to kill him there. He's going to stay here. And he already told us that this sickness isn't going to lead to death. So their assumption is Lazarus is going to get better. So Jesus doesn't need to go to Bethany, to Judea, because Lazarus is going to get better. And now Jesus tells them, but I'm going there. And they're like, whoa, hold up, wait a minute. You are the Messiah, and they want to kill you. You can't go back there. They thought they were doing a good thing by protecting Jesus. Right? You following me with this story so far? Verse 8. I already read that to you. So verse 9. Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. What a nice rebuke. He's telling them, are you guys walking around in the dark? Can't see what's going on? Come on, wake up already. That's how I'd have said it. But I'm not Jesus. Thank God I'm not Jesus. He's talking about some deep things here that they're not noticing, okay? But you have to understand, I'm like a racehorse wanting to take off and the Holy Spirit saying, not yet, not yet. So just hang with me here, all right? So after saying these things, he said unto them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said unto him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. See, they thought he was just sick, sleeping, he's going to get better. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they had thought that he had meant taking a rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there. What? You're glad that you wasn't there? One of your close friends just died. And you're glad that you weren't there. For our sake. Jesus, you're not making any sense to us right now. How many of you have ever been there before? When it seems like the whole world's flipped upside down, nothing's going right, you've been crying out to Jesus. God, where are you? We needed you 2 days ago. And you're saying this is for my good, and you want nothing but good for me. This doesn't feel good. I'm frustrated right now. Matter of fact, I'm more than frustrated. I'm mad. I don't understand this. Then he's got people on the other side going, Don't you dare go there. Okay, Lazarus died. It's okay. He believed in you. Everything's going to be fine. Just stay here. You need to take over Israel and throw over the Roman government. We can't have you going there and being killed by the Jews. Everybody is confused except for Jesus. Jesus is making statements like, and for your sake, I'm glad that I wasn't there. Why? So that you may believe. Hallelujah. But let us go to him. Now listen to what Thomas says, the doubter that we've labeled him the doubter. Listen to what he says. So Thomas called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Wow. What a powerful statement that I don't even know if Thomas knew what he was completely saying there. Keep moving along, Joe. You're not preaching that this morning. So Thomas called the twin, makes this great statement, let us go that we may die with him. Verse 17, now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. So he gets this information. And Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many, verse 19, listen to this. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Verse 20. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Now this is where we see Martha's faith and where it is. And Martha says to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. But Jesus said to her, I am. Those are some key words in the Bible. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, doesn't this sound familiar? Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Verse 35, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. That's it. Shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But Some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? It wasn't until this year that God began to reveal some things to me in this passage that I had never saw before. And I began to ask myself some questions after I read this. And I believe it's very evident in this passage of Scripture that Jesus was really good friends with Mary, Martha, Lazarus, all of them. They were close, right? I mean, would you agree with that statement? They were close. So as I was reading this and meditating upon it, a question came to my mind. Why would Martha go and meet Jesus? Why? Why would she go out and meet him before he even came into Bethany? Why? That seemed strange to me. I mean, if they're close friends, Jesus obviously knows where they live. Jesus has probably been to their house before. We know from other pieces of Scripture that he had been, that they even, after Lazarus comes back from the dead, because I'm going to spoil alert, Lazarus lives again, because what Jesus says, he means, and it won't lead to death. So this sickness is not going to lead to death. Now, it may look like it for the moment that he's dead, but when Jesus shows up on the scene, remember we sang about it this morning, when he walks into the room, something's got to change when Jesus walks into the room. So we know he's been there before. We know that there's a great experience with him, a friendship. Obviously, he knows where he's going. Why does Martha go and meet him before he gets to the house? And when I ask questions unto God in prayer, he, like he does in Scripture, answers me with another question. Have you ever got that before? Because that's how Jesus always answered people in Scripture. They would ask him a question, he would answer them with another question, right? And this is the question I heard from the Lord. Who was at the house? I asked God, why would Martha go meet Jesus when Jesus knows where he's going? He knows what to do. He understands he's on his way there. Why would Martha go meet him before he even got into the city? Why? And he asked me, well, who was in the house? And I was like, well, the Jews were at the house. The Jews were there. And then all of a sudden, the light bulb went off. The Jews, the people who were trying to shut down the ministry of Jesus, were at the house of the friends of Jesus. And the Bible says that they said they came there so that they could console the family because their brother had died. Now, I'm going to say something this morning. I don't want anybody to get offended at me, all right? But I just got to be real with you for a minute. Because I'm a pastor, and I've experienced death a lot being a pastor. I've experienced death on a personal level. My family members, whom I love dearly, have passed from this life to the next life. So I'm just going to be real with you. If you don't know this yet, I'm going to announce it to you this morning. Now, probably some of you already know this. But when you have someone in your family that passes, everybody shows up. Everybody. Even the people who aren't your friends. Nobody's named Nancy in here, are they? the nosy Nancys show up. The people who just want to see what's going on show up. And they will say they were there to console you. Oh, I'm so sorry for your loss. I mean, I had people say that to me at my father's funeral. I didn't know who they were. Well, I'm glad you're sorry. I don't know you. Did my dad know you? I mean, that's what I'm thinking, right? Y'all know what I'm saying here. I'm just being real with you. I'm not trying to be mean. And listen, people of God, let's be careful what we say in the efforts of trying to console people when they're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, right? Let's be careful what we say. We need to really watch our words. Sometimes the best thing to say is, listen, I have no idea what you're feeling right now because I'm not you. But one thing I do know is we have a promise that when we walk through this, the good shepherd's going to lead us through it. So just know this, no matter how hard this is for you right now, don't let go of Jesus because he's the only one that's going to get you through it. Sometimes that's all we need to say. So here we have this event that someone in the family has passed away. And everybody has showed up, including the Jews, to console Martha and Mary. And isn't it interesting then that because they are at the house, now we can only assume this, so I'm trying to be careful. We can only assume the intentions of Martha. So I don't know what her intentions were. It could have been that she's trying to protect Jesus because she knows who's at her house. And she knows that that some of these Jews that showed up are some of the same ones going, stone him! Throw rocks at him and kill him! So it could be that she's trying to protect Jesus because she knows all of this has already taken place. But it also could be this too, that now Martha is maybe feeling a little guilty of who she is allowed to come into her house. But it's got to be one of those two things going on, because Martha goes out and meets Jesus before he gets to the house. And you say, well, are you sure about that, Pastor? Well, let's remember what I read to you, because when Martha goes to get Mary, she says she privately... Hey, Mary, come here. Mary, come here. What, Martha? You always want me to do something all the time. I mean, you won't let me sit at the feet of Jesus and worship him. And now you probably got how many meals you want to cook for all these people that showed up. I'm trying to greet my brother. What do you want from me now, Martha? Right? Come on, we've all played that scenario out. Martha's like, it's not that, Mary. Just come here for a second. What? Jesus is here. What? Yeah, Jesus. Come on. He wants to see you. He's asked about you. Okay. So she privately leaves, but people take notice. People are always taking notice, whether it's for good or bad. People are always taking notice, church. They're always watching God's people. They're always watching the followers of Jesus. Yeah. Always. Whether it's for good intention or bad intention, they're always watching us. And so they try to sneak out, but some of them saw. And their assumption was this. Oh, she's going to the tomb to weep there. I love this. Because they don't see Mary like Jesus sees Mary. They don't see Martha like Jesus sees Martha. They see them as poor, pitiful souls that their friend, who they have given things up for to follow, has let them down. That's how they see these people. And so they assume Well, she must be going to cry her eyes out at the tomb. Because you know Mary, she's so sensitive. You know, she's always being so dramatic with everything that she does. You know, when Jesus shows up, she's so dramatic, she just thinks she has to sit there the whole time and can't do anything because she's just soaking it all in. Be careful how you judge your brothers and sisters in Christ. Be careful. So they see her as the sensitive one, and they see Martha as the sensible one, trying to take care of everything all the time, make sure everything's in place. But really, they're having pity upon these two individuals. They're not having compassion. There's a difference. There's a major difference. And so they sneak out, but they follow her because they want to keep this pity party going. And isn't it interesting that when Martha first sees Jesus, her statement to him was, "If you had been here." When Mary goes and meets Jesus, her statement to him was, "If you had been here." And then we hear the very last verse I read to you, what the Jews had been saying the whole time. Well, couldn't the man who opened up the blinded eyes surely have healed Lazarus if he had been here? And as I was studying this passage of Scripture and looking at it, not trying to get to the miracle, because isn't that what we do, church? We're always trying to get to the miracle. We rush through all of this part of the story because we want to get to the good part where he says, "Lazarus, come forth." And we hear, those of you that grew up on Carmen, you hear the song. You hear Carmen, "Lazarus, come forth." Right? Some of you are hearing it right now. At least I am. We want to get to that part of the story because it's so exciting. The dead, the person who has been dead 4 days, is now living again. No one went in the tomb and carried him out. They just rolled the stone away. And at the word of Jesus Christ, a dead man comes hopping out that still has all the grave clothes wrapped around him. That's how the story goes, right? Okay? So I want to make sure I get that point across. But we skip through this whole part. We just read through it. Okay, you know, Martha was so excited to hear that Jesus was coming. She went and met him. That didn't make sense to me. And Martha was so excited to hear that Jesus was finally showing up as she went out to meet him. Martha's grieving. Martha's grieving that her brother just died. Do you think that's why she went out to meet him? That didn't make sense to me. I began to pray about this and look into this and look at the scriptures and passages before this, how it's leading up that Jesus had to escape for his life because they were ready to kill him. And all these things that were taking place, it just didn't make sense to me. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit starts showing me this. And then he asks me the question, "Who's in the house?" And this word began to stir up in my heart. And I'm asking you this question this morning. Who's in your house? Who's in your house? What have you allowed to come into your house because of the moment of life you are currently experiencing? Because I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus was there before, none of these people wanted to be there. Matter of fact, they were trying to get rid of Jesus. They weren't going to entertain Jesus. They weren't going to be there to spend time with Jesus. They were trying to get rid of Jesus. And now all of a sudden, the very people who continually entertained Jesus Christ because they loved Jesus Christ, they were friends with Jesus Christ. Now in the moment of trial, in the moment of hardship, and in their moment of weakness, they have opened the door and let someone in who would have never been there before. I'm going to tell you something right now. The devil likes to use and abuse people. And while he's trying to use and abuse you, he will use other people to sound like they're saying the right things. To make it seem like they really care for your well-being in the hardship that you're facing right now, in the trial that's right in front of you. He will sound so good. And if we aren't careful, church, we will open the door and say, oh, come on in. Let's all have a pity party together. Let's all mourn and cry together. Let's feel sorry for ourselves together. Who have you let in your house? What have you opened the door to? What's in your house right now? Would you have a aha moment if all of a sudden you heard Jesus was coming and you're like, oh, wait a minute, I better go out and meet him, slow him down. Mary, clean it up. He's coming. Are there things we would have to put away if Jesus visited our house? Are there things we would have to hide? Are there people who we invite who we wouldn't invite if Jesus came? Who's in your house? Now let's take it a step further. Let's not just think about your physical house. Who's in your house? What have you been seeing and hearing to let in your house, this house that was made by the hands of God himself? What have you allowed to come in your house? Are you coming out on Sunday to meet Jesus here so that you can keep him at arm's length? Because this is where we meet Jesus. But when I go home, there's some things here that I don't want him to know about. There's some things going on here that I don't want to let Jesus into. Amen. Who's in your house? Because then you have to ask your question this. Ask this question to yourself. When I speak, who do I sound like? Because all of a sudden, the disciples, the followers of Jesus, Martha and Mary, they didn't sound like Jesus anymore. They didn't sound like what he was saying anymore. You see, we heard the words of Jesus. This isn't going to lead to death, but this is for the God to glorify his son in the midst of all people. This is what this is for. But when Mary and Martha show up, they're not saying, oh, thank God you're here. Now you can be glorified. They were saying, if you had been here. And they sounded just like the people who they had let in their house. And so what I'm telling you this morning is, first of all, don't misinterpret the shortest scripture in the Bible like the Jews did. Don't get it wrong. Jesus wept. Oh, he wept because he loved Lazarus so much. No! Are you kidding me? He's the one that already told the disciples before they got there that Lazarus was dead. He knew Lazarus was dead. He wasn't crying over the death of his friend. He was the one that also said, this will not lead to death, meaning permanent death, but God's about ready to do something through this whole mess. So then why do we have, what is it, verse 35? 11:35, right? Jesus wept. Why do we have this verse? Is it, we can see that it's true when the Bible says that he's touched by the feelings of our infirmities and all points was tempted like as we are. Well, yeah, maybe. Maybe. But it's so much deeper than that. It's so much deeper to just show the humanity of God in this moment. He's the God-man, right? It's more than that. It's part of it, but it's so much more than that. Why would he cry to the point he's weeping? It wasn't just like a tear came down. It wasn't just like a few tears and all sniffles and give me a tissue. He wept. He wept. It was physically showing that he was grieving over something. What is Jesus grieving over? Could it be that he was right on the precipice, right on the edge, right on the verge of going and doing the greatest work of God in all humanity? And the people, the very people he thought got it, didn't get it. Could it be that he was weeping over the fact that he's standing there alone in the presence of God and he's the only one that has faith? Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And he's seeing these followers of his. He's got the 12 guys, our heroes, telling him, don't go back to Bethany. Don't do that. They're going to kill you. Don't go there. And when he shows up, he's got two of his closest friends saying, well, if you had been here, if, but it's over now, Jesus. And our hearts are broke because you disappointed us. I mean, you could have left at least 2 days earlier and got here a little bit earlier than you did, but you stayed there two more days. You stayed right where you were two more days. Why would you do that when we sent word to you? Do you think we were just letting you know, hey, by the way, Lazarus isn't feeling good. I think he's got a little flu bug, cold. Pray for him. No, they were sending word because it was serious. They were trying to move the heart of their Messiah. How many of you have ever been there before? Where you're on your knees and you feel like you're beating the altar. You're weeping and crying, God, we need you to move. God, come and show up. God, help us through this. And you feel like there's nothing in return. And then you feel like there are other disciples who are working to try to keep you away from Jesus, keep Jesus from coming to you because they're afraid that, you know, if we get mixed up in this mess, this may make Jesus look bad. A lot of stuff going on here, isn't there? We can apply this to today. Well, you know, I mean, we love them, but they're just going through such a crazy time. We just need to let them work it out. But them and God, okay, let's just stay over here and have our happy little church and do our happy little thing. And that way nobody's feelings get hurt. Let's not be real. Let's be phony. Let's be fake. Let's raise our hands. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And go home by noon, because we can have our pretty little church service. And we all pat each other on the back. Wasn't that a nice time? Pastor didn't even yell at us today. He's really getting better on his delivery. He doesn't get so crazy anymore. I'd appreciate that, you know, because that can push people away sometimes because they think we're extremists. I can tell you that never happened in here. Because I know one thing. It's the power of God and the anointing that attracts people. So I ain't never going to shut that off. And it ain't just anointing because I get loud, okay? I understand that. That's not the anointing. That's me feeling the anointing. But listen, we're going to have freedom of the Spirit in this house. Because who's in this house? Jesus is in this house. We're not going to say, oh, by the way, let's all meet out there on County Highway 96 on Sunday morning so we can meet with Jesus and leave him there so that we can go do our thing the rest of the week. No. We meet together because we have Jesus already in here. And we're carrying him with us wherever we go. And we come here for refreshment, for times of the presence of God to come together and encourage us and uplift us, because now it's going from person to person to person to person to person to person. We can feel the power of God and he makes himself real to us. That's why we show up here, because then we are energized. We are ready to go. We are walking in the anointing. And when we walk out those doors right there, we are ready to take on the world. That's why we come here, because we're taking Jesus with us. We got to stop this whole, well, I don't know about that person. That's a mess. And I don't want to deal with that mess right now. You know why we got to stop that? Because the very people who do not need to be whispering in that person's ear right now has showed up and is whispering in that person's ear. And the church has gotten too scared to confront it. Well, you know, they're doing drugs again. So we better keep our... No, that's when you need to be in their face. Not being mean about it, but saying, hey, what are you doing? God has pulled you out of that junk. Don't go back to that. Don't go back to that. It's going to mess you up. But they got people whispering, oh, you know, wouldn't it be fun just one more time? No, it's not fun one more time. It could kill them. Now get out of here. Leave them alone. You don't care about them. You care about making a sale. You care about making some money off of them and using them and abusing them. I care about them. I will not let this happen to them. That's what the church needs to begin to do. That's what the church should have done with Mary and Martha. Wait a minute here now. We don't know the rest of the story yet. And it may look bad right now. But you need to get these naysayers out of your house. You need to get rid of these people because you know they don't like Jesus. These are the same people trying to get rid of him. Why are you listening to them right now? We need to get a hold of God Almighty. And let's just wait until Jesus shows up and then let's see what he will do. Because remember, he's been teaching us that he is, not he was or he's going to be, he is the resurrection and the life. That's what he's been teaching us. So let's just see what he'll do here. Don't you remember when he raised the boy from the dead? Don't you remember when he went to Jairus' daughter and she was dead and they were all grieving and he kicked them out of the house? Yes, he did. Yes. He said, get out! Yes. Too much unbelief in here. You all think it's over, but Jesus has walked into the room. It ain't over yet. Jesus just showed up. Do you remember when he did that? Do you remember when he stopped the funeral procession and raised the boy up to life? Do you remember that? Yeah, but it's been 4 days now. By now he smells bad. He's already begun to decay. But have you forgotten that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God? And if he was the same in the beginning and he's here now, all he's got to do is speak
forth the word, and the dust, the clay, will come together and form a human being once again. That's what the church needs to begin to do. Kick the lies out of our house. And let the I am show up. Well, he's not here yet. Just keep waiting. Because he gave us a word. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Just wait a little bit longer. Don't get in a hurry. Don't get all nervous. Oh, but he's late. No. He's right on time. You see, you think God is not there when he needs to be there because you think this is the glorious thing he wants to do. He wants to heal the sick person. But do you realize how many sick people he had already healed? He had already proven to the world. Even the non-believers said, well, couldn't the guy who made the blind man see heal this man of this sickness? They believed he could do that. But what they did not yet know is that he could conquer death. And so it wasn't another healing that he wanted to do. It may be in your life that God just doesn't want to do what he's always done. Because it seems like, well, that's what God does. It could be a new thing he wants to do that will give him even greater glory, greater honor. And people will say, hey, there's really something to this God that they serve. See, he wasn't 4 days late. He was right on time. He waited 2 days to make sure he would be on time. But this is for our good? God, what do you mean this is for our good? Yeah, your momentary light afflictions are not comparable to the weight of glory that you will experience. It won't. And I know that God is talking about when we cross from this life to the next life in that scripture, but it's even bigger than that. It's every moment of our lives that if we just wait on the Lord, he will show up. We don't have to get in a hurry. We don't have to make it happen ourselves. Jesus, I need you here. I need you. Get here, Jesus. I need you right now, Jesus. I'm going to make God show up. You know that's idolatry? What did the prophets of Baal, the prophets of Ashtaroth and Asherah do? They screamed. They beat themselves. They cut themselves. They jumped up and down on the altar, and they thought it was their passion that would cause the fire to fall. Pentecostals, be careful. We are passionate people for Jesus. That's awesome. I love it. I'm going to keep being passionate, but it's not my passion that makes God move. It's my faith that pleases him, and he sees, all right, they're still believing, and I'm still working something bigger. Can we trust the character of God, church? Can we trust his nature? That's the key. Can we trust his nature? If his nature is goodness, if his nature is grace, if his nature is holiness, then why do we try to speed the process up? If he's taking us through the process, he's doing something great in us. Who's in your house? Have you gotten frustrated to the point that you've opened the door for things to come in your house that shouldn't be there? Now let me read this to you. I'm trying to quit preaching, but man, this is so good. So after the big miracle, after the resurrection power is displayed to all, the Bible says this, many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary
and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. You know what that tells me? It tells me that I'm right on point. It tells me that I didn't just make this perspective up to make you all think something so I could preach a great message and you all go, oh man, wasn't that amazing, Pastor Joe? No, no, no. It tells me that the Holy Spirit's talking to me. Because now there's evidence. There's proof. Many of them believed, but it was only after they saw the resurrection power. And even after that, there were still some who went on their way and tattled to the Pharisees. Well, you know what he did now? I can't believe this. He's taking it another step further. And this we just can't stand for. He's not just healing people now. He's not just opening blind eyes up anymore. He's not just casting out devils anymore. He's not just making the lame walk anymore. He's raising people from the dead now. What are we going to do about that? Don't that sound like a bunch of church people right there? You know what them teenagers are doing now? They ain't just praying for one another and getting filled with the Holy Ghost. They ain't just bringing people in from their classes and from their sports teams and getting them saved. They're not just praying for the sick and seeing them healed. Now, man, they are just doing all kinds of craziness. I mean, they just think everybody should be speaking in tongues. They just think everybody should be healed. They just think anything God can do. I mean, they're trying to pray for dead cats and get them back to life. Pastor, what are we going to do about it? Well, you ask this pastor, I'm going to say, let's go pray for the cat with them. I'm going to say this nicely, okay? And while we're at it, let's pray for you too.
Yeah.
That you may be raised from death to life. Because if you're so concerned about what the young people are doing because they're excited to serve Jesus, maybe something's died in you. Who's in your house?
Yes.
Who's in your house? You know what I love about this story? This event? This has happened. By the way, this isn't just some make-believe story. This really happened. This actually took place. That even after Jesus was grieved, and he weeps, he doesn't look to God and say, well, we tried. How about you just take me up now, Father, and let's call this quits. Let's destroy everything and start over again. We'll have to repent to Noah. I know, but his descendants, man, they just have blown it. So let's just call this quits. No, no, no. He does talk to his father. And he talks to his father publicly. I didn't have time to get these scriptures. I don't have time now, but I'm trying to wrap this up. He begins to pray out loud, and he even says, I don't do this for me, Father. I do this on behalf of them so they can see and know and hear everything that goes on. And instead of wanting to call down fire and devour these people, instead of wanting to call down lightning and strike these people, instead of wanting to call it quits, Jesus realizes that even though there's no faith among the Jews and there's no faith among his disciples right now, he still has faith. And because he still has faith, then God can be glorified in the situation. And that's the moment he chooses after he allows the emotions of everything that happened for him to process that, move through that, and instead of posturing himself in a way that we want to posture ourselves when we're upset and frustrated and mad and we're just like, man, I am done with this person. I'm not going to deal with this person anymore. They have wreaked havoc at my work and they keep putting me beside them to work with. And I'm telling you right now, come Monday morning, if I walk in that place and they got me working with so-and-so again, I am just going to quit. They're going to have my resignation. I'm out of there. 2 weeks, forget about the 2 weeks. They won't be 2 minutes. I am out of that place because I'm not going to deal with that person anymore. But what if God was putting you there in the midst of them so that they could witness faith in Jesus? See, Jesus didn't quit on the process. Even when he was overcome with grief and wept, he didn't quit on the process. He didn't go, God, why did you give me these people? He said, okay, I've wept. I've cried. Now, where have you laid him? Where is he laying at? Which tomb is he in? Because it ain't going to be much longer that he's going to be in that tomb. You hear me, church? We got to stop having our pity parties, feeling bad for ourselves and thinking, why doesn't anybody have any faith anymore? Well, where are you? Where's your faith? Will you stand in faith even when people around you have let people in the house that they shouldn't let in? Even when they've let the lies come in? When they've let the doubt come in. When they've been overwhelmed with feelings. Are we going to stand there and let ourselves become overwhelmed with feelings too? Or are we going to stand up and say, okay, I've processed my feelings. And at this point, they don't matter anymore. Because people need to see the power of Jesus Christ. And I will stand in the midst of them and I will believe that Jesus is going to move when everyone else says he can't move anymore. You see, this is a timely word for the American church. You know why? Because we got all kinds of stuff being said right now, don't we? All kinds of doubt, all kinds of disbelief, all kinds of fear being pushed on us. Here's my question. What are you letting in your house? Who are you letting in your house? Are you listening to the news reports more than you're reading your Bible? Are you listening to so-called prophetic words that keep falling to the ground and never happening? Or are you getting a hold of God yourself? Who is speaking in your house? What are you seeing? What are you hearing? You see, we always want to talk about the bad stuff, right? Well, you know, you're watching them R-rated movies and participate in all this junk and doing all that, and you're letting that, yeah, okay, don't do that. That's letting bad things in your house. But let's get down to the nitty-gritty here. Are we believing reports from our government, from the newscast, from our society? Are we listening to all of this stuff and buying into that? Or are we believing the report of the Lord? Because, yeah, guess what? The Bible even tells us it's going to get worse and worse. But I've told you this before, and I'll keep preaching it until Jesus comes back and gets me. Where sin abounds, the grace of God does much more abound. Sin can't overtake grace. Darkness can't overtake light. And in the darkest night, the smallest, tiniest little light will shine the brightest. So why are we worried about the reports all around us? And the yeah. I'll just choose to believe Jesus. And I am working on kicking all the junk out of my house that's trying to hold me back from believing Jesus. I don't want to sit there and go, I want to be a Thomas in this situation. I want to be Thomas where it says, all right, let's go die too. If that's what it takes to see the glory of God, that we got to die, then let me die. Because I want to see the glory of God. You crucify Joe Turner so that nobody sees Joe Turner anymore. And they can only see the glory of Jesus Christ working through me. I don't know what we got to do here, Jesus. But all I know is this. I'm sold out. I have no backup plan. You are my plan. And I'm following you wherever you go. If I go and make my bed in hell, you'll be with me. If you rise me up unto heaven, you'll be with me. I am following you wherever you go. No one's allowed in my house except for God, the Son of God, which is Jesus Christ, and His Holy Spirit. And they're three in one. Stand to your feet if you would, please. Pastor Debbie, if you can come back to the piano. I know some people have to go. Some people already had to go. But I believe what God started doing as we begin to praise Him this morning, church, people started feeling the joy of God again. They started understanding that there's joy in serving Him. Even when it's difficult, even when it's tough, there's joy in serving Him. People started feeling loved again. Peyton shared her testimony. I know that there were adults in this room going, me too. Me too. I have felt like I've been forgotten. I have felt like nobody cares. I felt like nobody loves me. And I'm scared to tell somebody. Me too. There were young people that said, me too, Peyton. But then they heard how to overcome. You heard how to overcome. Tell somebody, hey, I'm struggling. The devil's lying to me. There's people trying to get in this house, in my mind, through my ears and my eyes. They're trying to penetrate and tell me lies. And I know it's not the truth, but it's overwhelming me right now. And I need your strength as a brother and sister in Christ to come alongside of me. And to pray with me so that we can believe that none of this will penetrate my heart, will penetrate my soul. But I'm going to stand firm in what Jesus Christ has declared. That's what we need to do. For some of you, it may look bleak. It may look like he's too late. I'm telling you, he waited 2 days on purpose. He's waiting longer on purpose because what he's going to do is much greater than what you think he was going to do. The question is, can you trust him through this process right now? And the answer is, yes, you can. Now, will you? Will you? That's completely up to you. And so I want to open up this altar. If you need prayer, I'll lay hands on you, pray for you. I'll join my faith with you. But maybe you just need to get alone with God. Say, God, I need you right now. There's no judgment. There's no, oh, look at them. Look what they have. They have to go pray right now. They must be having a really tough. Are you kidding me? Those are lies. Don't let it in your house. But I want you to respond to God right now. Maybe some of you need to clean up some junk that's in your house. You just needed to get it out. God revealed it to you. Some of you, I think he even did during praise and worship. Just get it out. Come on. Come and respond right now. Find a place to get before the Lord. And let's get rid of stuff that's holding us back from being the people of God that he has chosen us to be. Thank you, Lord.
Righteousness is what you want from me.